Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. This week we are talking about The Iron Claw, which was written and directed by Sean Durkin. I'm going to give you a log line.
Yeah.
So this is the true story of the inseparable Von Erich brothers who made history in an intensely competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 1980s. Mm. The film stars Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson, Lily James and Stanley Simons. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the truth behind the story. So talking about the Von Erich family in real life. Going to talk a little bit about the making of the film, the absence of nominations for this film, and also the fact that it was produced by A24. And we'll dive into that a little bit. So first of all, how are you both?
Really good. Yeah. So happy to be back recording with you both. It's been a wonderful week. What have I been doing? Well, I bought myself a new cardigan in the kids section at Next.
Gorgeous.
That was fun.
A lot cheaper than the adult
section. So much cheaper. Yeah. Also, kids' shoes, they go up to like size 3, 4, 5. Like kids.
What size feet are you?
3.
Are you size 3?
Yeah. Wow. Is that all right?
That's incredible.
But like you think of all the really fun styles of kids' shoes.
Yeah.
You can get them. I can.
I'm out of the equation, size 6.
Oh, me too.
That's great.
It is. I love it. It's like great fun, but sometimes I like get quite possessive over pieces and I see a little girl beelining for a cardigan. I think you should be so lucky.
Push her out of the way.
I'm much faster.
Yeah. Respect your elders in the kids section, please. But yeah, it's been a nice week.
Nice. Spending your time at Next.
Yeah. Love Next.
What about you, Han?
Yeah, good. Daisy has been being really loud. She started verbalizing a lot. I think she's trying to talk. I think she might be a genius, but she's basically just screaming. But because that's all she can do. But I showed Larry a video earlier. I'll show you in a sec. But it was she's just nonstop screaming, but not in pain nor frustration. She's just excited and happy. It's so cute.
It's
like,
very cute.
Her little personality is starting to come through, and it's like just so lovely.
No.
So it's been a really nice week.
That sounds amazing.
Baby Daisy.
Baby Daisy.
She's gorgeous.
How's you?
I'm good, yeah. Things at Wrapped have been a bit mental.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all been a bit crazy, but in a really good way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hopefully by the end of this series, we can announce what is going on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So stay tuned for that, but we've got great news, so that's fun. But it has meant that work's been like busy, busy, busy.
Rather crazy.
Yeah.
But really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, let's jump in.
Let's.
So what were your first thoughts of The Iron Claw?
I was so excited to watch this movie. I think since I saw that picture of the four of them with their mullets, like it was a like publicity photo released, like a first look or whatever, a couple of years ago or something. I just thought it was such a revelation having these four on camera together playing brothers. And I was just so intrigued. I had no idea about this family. I had no idea what the story was going to be. I didn't even really know it was going to be about wrestling. Like I really, truly had no idea. But I was excited to see Zac Efron do something which I outwardly perceived to be like a cool, great movie. I think he deserves it. And then it was really like the whole time I was like just learning and discovering a lot. And then by the end, I did feel like slightly, I don't know, maybe just disappointed in like my experience of the movie. That's not to say I didn't enjoy it, but I just think that I had maybe an idea in my head that was not what I should have been expecting. Maybe I should have watched the trailer and I should have, you know, been a little bit more involved in, yeah, knowing what the subject matter was going to be. But yeah, we can get into all of that. And I'm really intrigued to hear what you both thought as well. Mm. You loved it, right, Han?
I loved it. I like films of this... It's films that like show like the shattered masculinity, and this is like so that. Yeah. I came into the film thinking that I was going to love it, and I think it lived up to that. I wouldn't say that exceeded. I think that it was brilliant, but it wasn't like as incredible maybe as it could have been, and I think probably for a lot of the reasons why you might think, but we can
maybe yeah.
But I loved it. I really loved it. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested, and we might have to wrestle to like find the answer and whether or not it's a great film.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
I was really similar to Maze for exactly the same reasons as you just said. Like, I think in my head I had come up with, I think I'd only seen some pictures. I knew it was about wrestling, but I didn't know it was going to be about tragedy in any way.
Yeah.
I think in my head it was going to be this really fun film.
Right.
And it was fun at times, but it was not. It was completely not like
it's a harrowing story.
It's totally harrowing.
Yeah.
So I finished it and was just a bit like, oh, that was just a bit awful, which is meant to be. But it just wasn't what I'd kind of like wanted out of it. I found it entertaining though.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and I think it was just, I got the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting. Just like how you go into a movie really, and then it being a different genre kind of to what you were expecting. Like, maybe that's not a fair reason to, like, not enjoy it. Maybe I need to go and look at it again. But, I don't know. I felt like it was going to be a little bit sillier.
We had this conversation the other day. So we met with Letterboxd, and we were talking about watching the trailer, like, if people watch trailers or if they don't watch trailers. And I don't really watch trailers anymore because I think that there's, like, a style to trailers that sometimes doesn't fit what the actual movie's like. And I don't want to go in with any preconceptions. I want to like really enjoy the story.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this on Saltburn as well, you know, like the fanfare online and how that like colours your viewing experience. So I felt that with Iron Claw, definitely. But I think that's what I also really loved about it is that there was so much behind these glossy characters and this amazing ensemble cast, and that there was a true story, which I didn't know. And I'm so excited to know what is true and what is not, and what is creative license and what is autobiographical.
Yeah. Well, do you want to jump straight into that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, it's based on a true story. I also didn't know anything about this family beforehand, but they are extremely famous. And all of the deaths in the film are true. In fact, there was a sixth brother. So there's only five brothers like included in the film. Kevin is the only one who survives, but there was another brother who also died by suicide.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's awful.
Was he a wrestler as well, do you know?
So he was, I think he also must have done wrestling, but he had asthma and brittle bone syndrome, so it made him really difficult to do well in wrestling, obviously. And so he died by suicide at age 21. And then Sean Durkin, the director of the film, writer and director of the film, he ended up having to remove that from the film because he just felt like the film couldn't like
how can you add another death in there,
which is mad.
It's already
because it's kind of one that I guess it is like you can't write it. I feel like if you'd written this film as an entirely fictional, you'd read it and be like, come on, that's so stupid. Mm. That wouldn't happen. But it's like the fact that they had to cut out a death to make it.
Yeah.
Like a true death to make it more palatable. Oh, it's just insane.
Is the dad still alive?
No, don't think so. Kevin is.
Okay. It's just heartbreaking that all of these things happen because really of his power over the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was something that was like very nuanced in the movie, in my opinion. And I feel like I could have benefited from knowing whether or not we wanted the father to be like the main antagonist in the movie, or is it okay that it's just nuanced like that because it is a real story and it's not so black and white? But I feel like these kids are putting themselves under so much pressure, and are we supposed to feel like they've been manipulated to be that way? Or, you know, is it just something that they've put on themselves? And yeah, I think in terms of like driving the story, and at the end of the day, this is a film, which is like a fictionalized retelling of something that's true. But yeah, I felt like I could have benefited from, but that's interesting too, to like, for yeah, it to be layered like that.
Yeah, I say that's something that I probably liked about it, is that, yeah, I'd say he was definitely the antagonist, and I liked that it wasn't too black and white, because then that might, well, then it's not nuanced.
And also that's not what it is to be like, would you think like, you know, my mother, for instance, I wouldn't call her my life's antagonist. Like there's things in every family where it's conflicted feelings and it's like very complicated. And maybe that's why it's not like spelled out in that way. Although, however, I was just thinking, is there a scene where they face that and he gets told, you know, right, what he's done to the family?
Well, yeah, sort of, only really at the very end after Kerry shoots himself.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you see,
yeah,
Zac Efron, like, you know, at that moment. And yeah, I felt like, I guess it was sort of building to that point.
Did you want more?
So I guess did you guys cry at the end?
Yeah.
No, but I felt very, very sad.
Yeah, I see what was missing, like pace-wise for me, or just like rhythm-wise, was that at the end I could connect with the fact that it was very, very emotional, and I thought the performances were so wonderful. And even the moment where you see the three brothers on the dock in like a heaven sort of whatever, I thought it was all amazing, and I just really wanted to be able to cry, and I just felt actually like not very sad. But maybe that's a me problem.
No, you know what? Maybe I think I might have also felt that. Like, I felt very, very sad, but like I say, I didn't cry.
And I felt like I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't. Like, after all that. Yeah. And I'm just trying to interrogate why, yeah, like, I didn't get there.
But one thing.
But you did.
I did, but I also think that maybe I really wanted to.
Mm.
Because there was a few moments in there where I was thinking, oh, I wish that they had spent more time on that to really make us feel the emotional gut punch that it's meant to be. Like when David dies in Japan, and it just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
That was like a real moment where I audibly gasped in the cinema. Like, you know, and then I really felt like we were going to go on to the sort of journey of it. And then it sort of tailed off for me.
Mm.
Really sadly.
And maybe that's what it is. Like you were saying, the rhythm of the tragedies happening, they're, but because there's so many things that happen, it's like, how can you possibly give those things time?
You really have to do, because it's a 2 hours 15 or something, which is like great length, but it's like, you know, in that you're just really storytelling with no space for,
god, there's so much, isn't
development there? And like, you know, nuanced relationships within the family, like you really just see them come back together, fight, you know, it's kind of just the next thing.
So the film, what did you think of the performances, seeing Zac Efron in this kind of character, in this kind of film?
Yeah, I didn't know that he was going to be leading the movie, and I was so excited because I do think he's a really amazing actor, and I think that he's like been part of like lots of movies that haven't done so well, and it's just like not a reflection of him. So I was thrilled. I thought he really shone. I mean, he gave everything to this role. I, again, another audible gasp, just even when he gets out of bed, the first shot, I was just like, how has, like, he doesn't even look human, like, how much he worked out for this role. Like, it's, the body transformation is just, like, unbelievable. Like, there's people who do that for a living who don't look like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he really went there. And I just think that any kind of dedication for towards a role like that is just like unbelievable. Because you're like putting all of that pressure on yourself, and then you've got to go and do your job each day, and you've got all this other, yeah, this whole other regime and lifestyle happening when you're also filming, which is just like mental. So yeah, I thought he really shone. I thought that he was like really good casting for that character, because he doesn't seem like someone who would be super jealous of his brothers, or like, he's just so supportive, isn't he? He seems like a guy. Yeah, he just like, he fit into that role really well for me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly, on the like body transformation thing, there wasn't like a strict plan for anybody to do any kind of transformation. It was just kind of like they do what they want to do in prep for like body wise, fitness wise for their characters, which I thought was quite cool.
Maybe this is a little bit shady, but I'm wondering if Zac Efron was able to get to that body shape compared to someone like Harris Dickinson or Jeremy Allen White. Although Jeremy Allen White was ripped in a lot more so than usual, because he's not busy on a lot of other jobs. Yeah. And so like him in that body is quite uncastable, actually, in the body that he had for Iron Claw.
Yeah.
So if he had more space around it in order to get there and then maybe bring it down from what it is, Harris Dickinson, who is going from job to job.
But it also just works. Like, it works that they've all like got different body types. Like,
yeah. That's what wrestling's like as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't feel like, you know, they like, how come you didn't, yeah, I didn't like kind of question it. It just felt like he would be built like that, because he's like kind of the one that you would imagine being the star, and then when he's not, that's
the most
like
the strict
point.
And
you know, like he's like, there's so much about him that would make him like be able to take over his dad's legacy, and then it just still kind of falls flat even after all of that work. It really adds to the emotional arc of his character, I think, him being just like unbelievably ripped.
Yeah. Because they all, like Harris Dickinson, who is like, the body shape is so different, but his character brings like the charisma.
Yeah.
And he's so amazing at that part. And then Jeremy Allen White, like they all bring such different things. And it's like, yeah, that's what families are like.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It worked.
It really worked. Yeah.
Interesting, actually, that we've just had that chat about like load of male actors' bodies. Is this okay that we're speaking about the bodies in that way? I think it kind of is, because it was, we're thinking in terms of fitness, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like the mental preparation that comes with like working out like that, which also feeds into the character, versus like just the aesthetics of how it looks, and then how that has played into all of their characters. Mm. But we are commenting on like men's bodies, which is like, is that necessary at all? And is like the double standard? Like, but I would argue that we're not objectifying them.
I think we're more so talking about like the athleticism of embodying a role, and not that if somebody hasn't trained as much, that would be bad because they were busy on other things. It's not, we're not saying that. I think it's more
just how it influences the characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a good point though, because I don't think we would sit here and talk about female bodies.
No.
And we've just spoken about male bodies
for like a long time.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, food for thought. I'd be interested to see if we get any, like, I'd love to hear people's comments on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what you think.
Let us know.
But be nice.
What do you think? Yeah, we're conflicted about what we've just said. So let us know if you're, especially if you're a man, then let us know how you feel about that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The director, Sean Durkin, he liked to, or likes to, shoot a scene from top to bottom. So when they were doing the wrestling matches, would you call it a... Yeah, it's a match. They're basically because they didn't... I don't think they had many stunt... If any stunt doubles? Maybe they did have some. They did a lot of the wrestling themselves.
That's crazy.
And so they're doing like full-on wrestling matches, the whole... Like a whole match.
That's... Unbelievable.
So I think it was big on them, like a big strain. And apparently, I saw one interview where Harris Dickinson's like, when they're doing the claw, and even though it's all stunt and he's not actually grabbing this guy's head, but you still like have to like tense your arm and make it look kind of real. And then by the end of a scene, he's like, my arm's just seizing up, and it's ridiculous because he's like, I'm knackered, but I haven't actually been doing anything. So I think it was like really like trying on their bodies because they are. Wrestling but not
but wrestling is not what it seems anyway, like it's not real. It is real, but it's not, they're not like
it's
actually
heightened.
Hitting it's heightened, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's like Wrestleception. It's like fight within a fight that's not a real fight within a real fight.
Wild.
Wow.
Yeah, Julie, I think that that's like such a dream as an actor. Have they spoken about it like they loved it? They had a good time.
Yeah. It seems to all like very fond memories. Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was mainly them. There was definitely like when jumping off.
I was
the
thinking
sides,
that. Yeah, when them. You see them like body slamming, it's like very clearly not been edited or like cut around. Like, that's unbelievable. I wonder how they got insurance for this.
Yeah, interesting.
I guess they have like pads on in some capacity, just because the wrestlers do. Like they've got the big like knee shin things. Yeah. And then obviously the ground's like spongy, but.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm pretty sure like, don't know if this is interesting, but like I'm pretty sure like when you sign on to a movie, I'm pretty sure wrestling is like one of the things that you're not allowed to do like while you're employed. Because it's so dangerous.
Oh, like, outside of filming?
Yeah, like they have things like skydiving and like, I don't know, skiing, like these kind of activities that are like high risk. And they, if you're insured by a company to be on set for the next 6 months, then you won't partake in certain things like, I don't know, race driving or whatever. I'm pretty sure wrestling's in there. So I'm just like, they might, I don't know how they got around
funny.
It, but they did.
But I suppose like it is choreographed and so it is... Yeah. They did 3 weeks prep to do the choreographing and this, all of that.
Wow.
So that's...
How long did they shoot for? Do you know?
36 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which... That's a lot, isn't it? To get through... Like, you think about all the...
Yeah, it's a longish film. It's quite a long film. I'd say it's
not
a
lot of different...
I wouldn't say that's a lot.
No?
I'd
say it's...
No.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a long film. Quite a lot happens.
Were there any real wrestlers in the film?
Yes. Mm. I think the people that they were wrestling with were real wrestlers.
Mm. And they hold up against those, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I wondered that. I also wondered if Holt McCallany, who plays Fritz, the dad, if he comes from, what kind of sporting background he comes from, because he's always been built. Really great to see him in this role as well, which is also a bit of a Zac Efron-y thing for him in this film, I think, because he always plays great characters, but I don't think with like this much depth and drama. If he comes from a wrestling background, or if he comes from like a bodybuilding background or something, because he's built and he always has been.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. But yeah.
And he's got like the voice.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, he felt so real, like from his first scene, from like that, the black and white portion of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he does seem very much from this world. Interesting. Yeah.
Hmm. Or just go cast him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an element, well, I think this is maybe just a me problem, and it's like not, but there was an element around like the way that he delivered a lot of his lines that I felt were like emotionless or just like cold. And I'm thinking now that maybe that was an intentional part of this, but there were flows, like rhythmically dialogue, you're thinking like there's four brothers and their family and they're all gonna, and the incredible mum as well. We haven't even spoken about her, but you know, like my favorite thing in movies is like a dinner table scene. That's like my favorite type of scene. And when you see a family all together around a dinner table, I just think it's like such an opportunity, and so many writers just like have that sort of like flow. And maybe it's good that they don't have that kind of like connection between, but there's not any moments like that in this movie. And I just felt like we were robbed of that.
Mm. There was a dinner table bit.
Yeah, though. With the breakfast.
And the barbecue outside as well.
Yeah, and they have Lily James over. And yeah. It's like, and there's one where it's just like, I think it was just like dead silent, which was so telling.
Yeah.
But none of like, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that like understand, I wanted more of the dynamic between the brothers and then the brothers with the dad and then the brothers with the mum. Like, I just really felt like I was missing that feeling so as I could get inside of the world with them.
Right. I think it was a real, it could have been a choice, but it could have been a missed opportunity potentially.
Yeah.
And that might be performance based or it might be script based.
Yeah.
That it's not in there for him to do. We're talking about the dad in particular with this.
Yeah. Mostly. I think his dynamic with them, I've sort of brought it up a number of times in this episode. I think it's just something I've got to watch again and really sort of like get into. But it just, I just couldn't ever tell where I was supposed to sit.
Mm.
And maybe that's just my problem, is that I want it to be spelled out to me. But yeah, I don't know. I just missed that.
Yeah.
Myself. But it could have been a choice, and that's fine. Like, do your choice.
So the film throughout, it has like we're in the real world. And like stick to this gorgeous style and tone. But there's one part, the dream sequence, which I think you touched on earlier, that feels quite, well, it's definitely otherworldly.
Yeah.
Otherworldly.
Yeah.
which is quite otherworldly. And yeah, just like it stood out for me in the film. Not as something that I loved, but I was just like, oh, this is different.
The afterlife bit.
The afterlife bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wondered your thoughts on that. Yeah.
Like, loved that bit. And I agree, it was like came from nowhere and I was just like, why? But at the same time, just like, I felt like maybe that's when the moment that I felt these brothers, like that love, like which you are kind of starved of. And maybe that's brilliant, you know, for it to be that moment. But, and their little brother, who's their big brother, who's like five, like,
this is
the thing, like, it is beautiful, but I just wasn't crying, but I was going like that, you know.
Do you think that was, maybe this is like an obvious thing to you, but it didn't occur to me at all. He said, that's probably Kevin looking at his dead brother thinking that's where he is.
Right. This is also what my friend Sarah said. She was like, is that supposed to be like what he's imagining in his head?
For where
when
he's
looking at, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. Also really beautiful.
Yeah. 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 That's what I think it is.
Rather than it just being like a random afterlife heaven moment.
But I do think that was quite, I don't know. I didn't love it, but I did. But it was nice. I think the little brother, he's the oldest brother, isn't he? But he's like still six. it kind of made me go like
laugh,
not as in like laugh. I know, which is awful. But no, I was just like, oh, it's quite bizarre. Like this poor, he's like stuck in that. Actually like really grim. But it just like I found it quite jarring in a weird way.
A little, but also because Jeremy Allen White had his foot back. So I was like, what are the rules of this heaven that we have over here?
Oh.
You know, like not that it's a moment about that, but the fact that my brain went there, it does mean something. I was like, how come he's got a foot back?
Yeah.
But he is still a baby.
Is the foot? Oh, yeah, because you see him walking outside.
Yeah,
sorry.
he looks at his feet and he's like.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wondering, can we clean up, Sean Durkin, can we clean up the rules of heaven, please?
Yeah.
How are we there the way that we imagine we want to be there? Tell me.
Yeah, let us know. Apparently, this...
I'm just Megan Fox in heaven. Sorry.
So apparently that scene was quite a hard sell to the like financiers, producers, sure, whoever. But it was just something that Sean really wanted to include. Yeah. Because he wanted to visualize the sense of their connection.
Yeah.
And it'd be like a release.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I felt that. And that's what I wanted. I was really searching for. And so I liked the choice. Mm. I really did. It did it for me.
Good.
There were things that didn't, but I liked that one.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Mm.
Can I ask a question? Mm. Kevin, if he's the only surviving member of the family, was he involved at all in the process of making?
So I don't think he was involved in the making, but he did watch it afterwards and he really loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and his sons, I think, went to see it maybe at one of the premieres. And yeah, it went down really well, which is really nice.
Mm.
Yeah. But one thing that Sean Durkin did say that I found interesting, he was like, yeah, he loved it. Kevin did, but I wasn't making it for him, and like he wasn't going to be fussed either way, but I know that Zac Efron was really really pleased to hear that.
Mm.
So it's just interesting.
So Zac Efron didn't work with the real Kevin to find the character?
I don't think so, no.
Just went through source material.
I think so. Mm. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. So this film didn't get any nominations for anything this year. It also didn't really go to any festivals. It premiered late December last year, 2023. So I wanted to discuss that. Does that surprise you?
It like does in a way, because I do feel like there's a sort of like rhythm to a lot of these things, and it isn't always, yeah, I feel like there's a rhythm. And this film is like awards material. It's got the cast, it's a true story, it's Sean, who's like had a lot of success before, you know, it's like a lot of things going for it. But I feel my experience was like not like the most positive one, and so I get why it didn't like quite, because it's got the cast and because it's based on a true story and because it's Sean doesn't mean that it should go to, right? But it's just, we're so used to the same names kind of popping up.
But interestingly, like none of those names have been, I think that was partly maybe why it wasn't nominated, because like Sean, Zac Efron, only Harris Dickinson is the only one.
Yeah, I mean, he's not been in film stuff. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was like, it would have been a step up. I don't know if you want to call it up. It would have been a different step for a lot of those names.
Then, yeah, maybe that's it then.
Yeah. Probably not entirely, but partly. Maybe.
Yeah.
I also think it's been a really strong year. Like there's a lot of really amazing, incredible contenders, and potentially if it was another year, then maybe there would be a best supporting actor or a best actor nomination.
It's weird they didn't do like festivals though.
Yeah.
So then it's such a festival movie.
And where did it premiere? Just a premiere?
They just did a premiere. So that's what I found really interesting, because it's A24 as well, who have like seemed really strategic with what they do.
When did they come on board?
They produced it. So I'm guessing that...
From the outset?
Well, I think so. I don't know for sure. I think they did though.
Because they quite often come in at the end and buy a movie.
Yeah.
And then market it and then it does well.
Yeah.
So it could have been one of those.
But even so, I think that they're like so strategic in how they do market a film or where they send it to festival wise or what like awards they try get into. It's like maybe they that just wasn't the plan for this, and they were just like, it's going to be a commercial film.
Yeah,
which is interesting in itself.
It feels like I'm kind of having like Spring Breakers flashback. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like really against type casting, big like fun names, like kind of a, yeah, I don't know, it just feels like there's like a parallel between those two movies in some way.
Yeah.
Like not like themes or anything, but I just, there's something about it that feels kind of strange, which was their breakout movie, 84.
Yeah, which I actually only watched recently.
And what did you think?
So good. I loved it so much.
James Franco's in it as well, right? Yeah, I know the one.
Spring Break.
He plays the I'm like gangster wrong guy. Film.
No.
Spring Break.
No, I'm Palm Springs.
I'm oh, no, that's a different film.
Different film.
That's Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it's not.
No.
Wait, A24 did Spring Breakers?
No, yeah, with Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez is in it. Vanessa Hudgens. Oh my God, maybe that's also the parallel. Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron. They just need to get Ashley Tisdale.
Oh no, I was thinking of
a thriller about a female hit bodyguard. I don't know, I'm just trying to do against type.
When I went onto Zac Efron on IMDb, I felt really sad for him because it said known for 17 again. Like, you know, when it says what their...
That's a good film.
It is a good film, movie. But I'm one like, he's done so much more since that. I feel like that's so mean. But this... Or maybe that's because I've just looked up 17 again before.
No, I feel like,
story checks out, to be fair. I'm excited to see now what he gets after this.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to put him in something.
So, can I get a guess on the budget, please?
I'm going to say 15. No, I'm going to say 15 or 20. I'm going to say 15 then.
I'm going to say 9.
15.9 million.
We knew.
Yeah. And
15.9.
Yeah. On the opening weekend, it got nearly 5 million. Mm. And then now, but it is still in cinemas whilst we're recording this, but now gross worldwide is 40 million. So doing great.
They'll all work again.
Yeah, they will. I mean, speaking of Zac Efron next, which you just asked before. So he is going to be in a celebrity thriller called Famous, made with Black Bear, who we love, and from director Jodie Hill.
Mm. Who's Black Bear, please?
Black Bear is a great production company who also produced Naiad that we're doing in a few weeks' time. And some of the great things. And I couldn't find what all of the actors are doing next, but Harris Dickinson will be in the new Steve McQueen film, Blitz.
Amazing.
Yeah, really
okay,
cool.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, I've got some really quick little letterbox reviews that I wanted to share. Kenzie Vanuna said, this is Little Women, but for boys.
Little boys.
And then a kind of similar one, Tyler says, this is basically The Virgin Suicides, but for boys. Interesting. Hyduk said, this is the feel bad movie of the year.
I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah.
Feel scared movie of the year.
Dylan Troisken said, when your family curse is just the mere existence of your father.
Ooh. Ouch. Real. Ouch. Real at me next time.
And Regal said, practicing the iron claw on my popcorn.
Good.
For free. These people are so funny.
But yeah, so what were your final thoughts, gals?
I'm really glad to have spoken about it more with you. And I feel like the hesitations that I had are not a reflection of the movie and more a reflection of like my own agenda of what I need in order to like get into a story. When I can't just like seamlessly see myself as like the leading character. Because at the end of the day, I am a narcissist. So I really appreciate hearing your guys' thoughts. And I actually like really want to watch it again now, which I hadn't felt before.
I also will be watching this one again, definitely. It's also just made me want to rewatch The Wrestler, Darren Aronofsky. Yeah. If you are missing like an emotional pull, like if you watch a wrestler, like that will get you. I love seeing this antithesis between like a masculine, toxic masculinity and like what is behind that. And just secretly really want all the boys in my life, men in my life, to cry in front of me at least once, just so I can like see them as real emotional human beings that I see all of my female friends as well. Yeah. But that's a personal goal. I love this, and I am so excited to see what Zac Efron does next.
Yes.
I like agree with both of you because I didn't absolutely love it, but now that I've spoken about it, but I wanted to, and I definitely didn't hate it, and I still don't. But also because maybe it wasn't made for us, and because like we haven't experienced toxic masculinity in our life. I don't really know that. No. We can experience that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that it wasn't for us to, it's okay that we didn't feel that, because I've seen some amazing reviews of this, and I think a lot of people do really love it. So,
okay,
because I've been really trying to understand why didn't it have that effect on me?
Yeah, it's just maybe something that like nuanced relationship with the dad that doesn't have to be overtly like a negative one, like for a lot of men is just like so relatable. Mm. And they just feel, people who have seen that like sort of toxic masculinity.
If only one of us was male, then we could say, you know, if those things do hit home.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For the chats. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us for more on TikTok and Instagram. We are at Frank Film Club. You can also email us on filmclub@rap.world if you want to send in your thoughts. We love to hear your thoughts. On YouTube, please can you like and subscribe, because it really helps us. And follow us on wherever you get your podcast. Your podcast.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us on this week's episode. Next week, we're going to be speaking about May December, which you can go and watch now on Sky, Now TV if you're in the UK, and it's on Netflix if you're in the US. Anywhere else, can't help you. You'll have to Google it. Can't wait to see you next week. It's going to be great chats. See you then.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.